What's good, podcast world? Happy Easter. Welcome back to Balls Deep. This is episode 7. I'm your co-host, Zach Wunderlich. As always, joined by co-host Chance Ritz. Chance, how you doing, brother?
Doing well, man. Happy Easter, fellas. It's a beautiful day today.
Absolutely. Fantastic fucking weather for Easter. This week, our special guest joining us. Dumped the sand out of his boots. came back home to us. Our special guest is Chandler's own David Burgess. David, how are you, brother?
It's happening. I'm good, man. I've been home. Just got back from Afghanistan almost three weeks ago. So it's good to be home, talking about sports, watching sports, seeing family and friends. You know,
absolutely, man. And it probably comes as cliche. You probably hear it a lot. And and you know, like we're your brothers, so. But we just want to tell you, man, like, obviously we appreciate everything that you've done. Like, we've had some big-time guys on here, but, like, what you did, I mean, it's a different breed. Like, not everybody's built to, you know, serve our country, go overseas, be gone for their families for 11 months, and then, you know, just come back and be placed back into the world again. You know, like, nothing happened. So, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. We do appreciate everything that you did, brother.
I love all y'all, baby.
I love all y'all, baby.
So let's roll into our first topic here. We had the Final Four yesterday. That first game, Baylor and Houston, kind of went how I thought it was going to. I thought Houston's defense might be able to slow down Baylor a tad. But, I mean, obviously it didn't. Baylor blew their asses out. I kind of expected that. Do you guys think Houston had a chance? You know, would it be close? You know, what'd y'all think?
No, I think Baylor – it's hard to say a one seed is, you know, could be over or underrated, but I think their defense is a lot better than like some people might think. You know, obviously Houston's a good team, but I didn't think they had a chance personally.
Yeah, I was the same way. Like last week we talked a little bit about college basketball and how fucking badass Gonzaga is this year. And I'm pretty sure we put Baylor up there. We pretty much knew it was going to be Gonzaga Baylor, but that game went exactly how I thought it was going to. Baylor just beating ass the whole time, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought was going to happen. And then our night game, I thought Baylor was blowing Houston out. I thought Gonzaga was blowing UCLA out by worse. I thought Gonzaga was beating them by 50.
Yeah, it's almost like UCLA. You know, I don't want to say a team doesn't belong to be there because they obviously made it all the way to the Final Four. But if I thought a team was going to just get shit on, I'd think UCLA versus, you know, what Baylor did to Houston, you expected Gonzaga to do to UCLA.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, that's and you know, we were shooting pool, you know, having a good time, and I didn't even turn the game on. I was like, you know, it's the Final Four, but, you know, I'd rather shoot some pool, drink some beer. I was like, Gonzaga's going to blow them out. And then I pulled my phone up, and I was like, oh, let me check the score real quick. And I look at you, David. Yeah. And I was like, yo, Gonzaga's up by 2 right now with 50 seconds left. Yeah. So, you know, we flip it on, and Gonzaga ties it up. They go to OT. I wanted a second overtime so bad. UCLA ties it up, and then Suggs comes down the floor, pulls it from half court.
Just floats him up there. So it was a good effort by old boy to, you know, pick up his own rebound and get the put back and tie it again. Like, yeah. I felt like he took – you know, I don't want to say a dumb shot with that little seconds left, but to get his own rebound and finish hard, I feel like that got overshadowed by a half-court buzzer beater. But that was really good effort by that kid, man.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, I wanted that second overtime bad, but, yeah. But I mean, Suggs said, I called game. Yeah. He said, I'm going to the Natty. And then – this is – Chance, we've talked about it like 3 weeks in a row. Like, this is what we wanted. We wanted Gonzaga and Baylor. I want to see Baylor go against Gonzaga.
Big 12, baby.
I want to see Baylor go against Gonzaga. And then I was joking with them last night. I was like, we had this game in the Final Four, so now one of them is blowing the other one out by 30 in the Natty game. I guess not even going to be fun. So, speaking of the Natty game, like we said, we were on a collision course all year for Baylor and Gonzaga. We got it. Tomorrow night, I think, 7:30? Mm-hmm. They're gonna hook it up, get it on.
7:20 Central.
Who you guys got? Anybody here ballsy enough to go against Gonzaga?
Personally, right now, I'm not ballsy enough to go against Gonzaga, but that damn Baylor team is just so scrappy. It's hard to bet against them as well. But I just with the way Gonzaga's put together, man, I don't see them losing. I don't think it'll be a blowout though either.
It man, like obviously, game, for sure. Obviously, we don't have a dog in the fight, you know. Yeah. Gonzaga beat OU by 18 or some shit.
1,000.
So we don't got a dog in the fight. So I really don't care who wins. I just want a good game.
Right.
Give me a repeat of last night.
Yeah.
Let Suggs hit another game winner or something, you know, like in overtime. Keep me hooked to it because, you know, we're sports fans, obviously. So, I mean, my pick, I got to go with Gonzaga. I mean, nobody's beat them.
Yeah, you can't not, you know. Baylor's a good team. I think it'll be a good game. But I think Gonzaga finishes, you know, undefeated.
Yeah, and OSU beat Baylor, and OSU's ass.
Straight ass.
So, let's keep it NCAA basketball because going back to our dog that is our fight. OU found their basketball coach. They got Porter Moser from Loyola Chicago.
Port.
I don't know what you guys think about this hire. I'm a fan of it. I think this is a big time hire.
I'm a fan of it because just what he's been able to do at Loyola.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude he's taken them to the tournament, you know, two different times they were Cinderella stories, you know.
Yeah. They were 11 seed, if I remember correctly. He took them to the Final Four back in 2018, somewhere around there. My thing with it is, like, I understand that that's a Cinderella story. Like, the ball fell your way. Like, Loyola Chicago probably shouldn't have been in the Final Four that year. They got hot at the right time, and the ball fell their way. They made it to the Final Four. But, I mean, it's partly due to his coaching, you know. Like,
oh, absolutely.
He's not putting the ball in the basket, but – you know, he's drawing up the X's and O's of it. And if he can do that with the guys that he recruited to Loyola Chicago, what's he going to do? Now he's in a Big 12.
A big, you know, time school too.
OU's not a perennial powerhouse in basketball, but it's the Big 12. Like, you're going to get better guys into the Big 12 than he was going to get at Loyola Chicago.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, overall, the guy's got a winning, you know, coaching record overall. He spent like 10 years down there in Loyola. They went to the NCAA tournament a couple times. 50 isn't like super young, but, you know, it's nice looking like Lincoln in football, getting a younger coach as far as basketball is going to come in and, you know, take a run at a chip. Because the Big 12 has some good basketball teams, but you ain't thinking OU when you think good Big 12 basketball. And I think that is going to change in the future.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you on
that. Yeah, I couldn't agree anymore with that. I seen Loyola Chicago tried everything they could to keep him there. Like, obviously, if you got a school like that and, you know, and they're offering what they offered him to keep him there, like, he knows what he's doing. I think they offered him I think it was 10 years. They were going to pay him $2.2 million. They were going to pay him $2.2 million a year, and they threw in Chicago Cubs season tickets. For the 10 years, they were going to give him season tickets for every year.
They're reaching now, huh?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. They tried everything they could to keep him, but my guy was like, man, I got to say deuces. I'm going to the Big 12. I'm Boomer Sooner in this bitch now.
Yeah, he said, fuck it. I don't even like the damn Cubs, man.
Yeah. So the Cubs suck now.
You can't blame a guy, you know. It's like with players. Everybody watches Last Chance U, shit like that. You want to go D1. And that's not just the players. Like, for a coach to spend all that time, you know, building a program at a school like that, you know, and he gets an opportunity. To me, it's a call-up, you know what I'm saying, switching to a big school like OU. You can't blame him for that. Like, you know.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you said it perfectly that, you know, the players obviously want to be D1.
Right.
But, I mean, we all Chicago, they're a Division I school, but they're not the Big 12.
They're not big ticket like that.
They're not the Big 12. He probably would have taken the K-State job.
Right.
And K-State's ass in the Big 12, but it's the Big 12.
Basketball.
You know what I'm saying? And this year, the Big 12 was in the running for the best conference in basketball. They had some teams in there this year. I mean, right. They got Baylor playing for the national championship tomorrow. Texas was good. OU was good.
They're better than we thought.
OSU was good. You know, Texas Tech was very good.
Right.
And speaking of Texas Tech.
Is Kansas already?
Oh, I forgot about Kansas. Yeah. Kansas is the powerhouse of the Big 12.
Yeah. I don't know how you missed that one.
Yeah. And so, well, on the Kansas and the Texas Tech, I just remember these weren't on our talking points, but I want to get y'all's thoughts on it. Kansas gave Bill Self a lifetime contract earlier this week. I've never heard of a school or a professional team, anybody, giving a coach a lifetime deal. They signed him to a five-year deal, however much money it was. I didn't see the money that came out. But after each season ends, it adds another year to it.
Oh, geez.
I've never in my life seen anything like that.
That's pretty wild, man. I've never heard of that either. Honestly, whenever I first seen it on my Bleacher Report app, I was like, are they bullshitting?
No shit. That's what I was like. I was like, somebody typoed, because you don't offer somebody a lifetime deal unless you're LeBron James and it's Nike offering you a lifetime deal because you're LeBron James.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that is crazy, man.
Yeah, it's wild. But that tells me, though, like, the NCAA – I hate the NCAA, dude.
What school did you say that was?
Kansas, Bill Self.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, okay.
I hate the NCAA, dude. I think they're corrupt. I think they pick and choose on who they want to punish. You guys know from all the podcasts that we've done, I hate OSU. But they handed out a playoff ban to OSU. They appealed it, and it never came back. They were allowed to play in the playoffs this year. But Kansas, they have proof of Kansas doing way fucking more than what OSU did. They haven't got shit yet. Saying, oh, is the NCAA going to drop the hammer on Kansas? Is it coming? This deal that Bill Self just signed, it tells me that he knows something we don't.
Right.
That he's in the clear with the NCAA.
Otherwise, you'd hop off the sinking ship.
If you know they're about to come down with the hammer and ban you from the playoffs or take scholarships away, why would Bill Self want to stay there? Yeah. Because any NBA team would take Bill Self.
I agree with that. Yeah, I still think there's a lot more to come out of that Kansas deal, man. This, like, we haven't seen the end of that shit.
Deservingly so, though. Like, I mean, they were blatantly cheating, like doing things that you cannot do. So you should be punished. But
winning forgives a lot, man.
But that's exactly.
Winning, it's like, the better you are as an athlete, the more leeway you get. Winning as a team, the more leeway you get. That's exactly. Just how life is.
Kansas basketball makes the NCAA a fuck ton of money. Why would they want to punish them? OSU don't bring in near as much money as Kansas does. So, yeah, let's punish OSU. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You can't pick and choose when you want to punish somebody. It's got to be consistent.
You want any respect, it does. At the end of the day, money makes the world go around. They do what they want to do.
Right. And then you got guys wearing T-shirts saying, you know, not the NCAA's property, and they want to get mad about it. It's like, because you don't own them.
Yeah.
They're telling the truth. And the NCAA is just corrupt as shit, dude. Yeah. And I hate them. What I put it into a college football perspective, if Nick Saban's out here paying dudes and the NCAA figured out about it, they'd probably be like, well, it's okay. It's Nick.
Sweep it on the road.
Nick, who cares? Like, it's Alabama.
St. Nick. What?
But holy shit. Something comes out that Lincoln Riley paid a fucking chef to come in and cook the guys a meal one time, and it was against NCAA rules, they'd be like, oh, you're fucked, though, you.
Yeah, we already don't like that y'all try to go to the playoffs and get your ass beat every year.
If it's the SEC, they're like, nah, that's okay. Anybody else, they're like, no, we're going to get you now. And then we had one more hire this week. That was Chris Beard leaving Texas Tech, going to Texas. That one scares me as an OU fan. Chris Beard is a hell of a coach, and him going to Texas Tech's not a bad school, but he's going to have the resources that Texas has. That one scares me as an OU fan, because I think it makes Texas a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough team, and he's going to figure it out. He's going to put it together over there, and they're already on the verge of breaking out. So. Yeah,
no, and they've had great teams there. I think Shaka was just an overrated hire. I mean, he had a team this year that I think they got up to like number four in the country. Shaka was there 5 years, never won an NCAA tournament game. Like, at a school like Texas, that don't get it done. They'll fire your ass.
Yeah.
blue blood schools, you come in, you win, or you leave.
Exactly.
It's that simple.
Yeah. Exactly. So we'll get into Chance. We talked about it at the end of last week. It was Christmas for you and I this week.
Yeah.
We had opening week. And, David, you know, you're not the biggest baseball fan, but, you know, you ask me questions about it all the time, right. And I feel like your knowledge about it now was way greater than what it was 2 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
Even though you hate it, like, you still get interested about it.
Well, I like sport. At the end of the day, I like sports. I like competition at the highest level. And whether I play a sport or watch it doesn't mean I don't have respect for the skill it takes to do it. So, you know, when I watch a guy, you know, throwing the ball wherever he wants to, and the guys that got to hit that shit, and that's ridiculous. I don't think I could throw it from second to third hard and fast, you know what I'm saying, and accurate. So just, like, I have respect for the game, you know. So that's it's piqued my interest more and more with baseball. Just more sports I can take in, the better.
I don't know a harder sport to play than baseball.
It's hitting a baseball is the toughest thing to do in any sport.
Yeah,
wait, absolutely. Chance, how many 90s arms did we see? Quite a bit. We've seen Bundy. We've seen Fulmer. We've seen Kosho. We've seen all those guys.
B.A.
Good luck. Like, you know, we were high schoolers. I understand that the guys seeing them now, they're professional athletes. They're the best at what they do. But you get somebody like Chapman up there throwing 102 miles an hour.
Left-handed.
And you got it. And your job is to square it up. Dude, fuck out of here. Like, this is the hardest thing to do in sports.
Good luck, buddy.
So, our boy last night made his 2021 debut. I was pumped for him. He threw the ball very well last night going against the Dodgers, the powerhouse that the Dodgers are right now. And John walked out there and he said, you know, I don't give a shit that you're the Dodgers. You can shove it up your ass real quick. Did you catch any of his start last night, Bubba?
I didn't, man. I didn't watch anything.
He went five innings, only gave up four hits. He only gave up one run, punched out seven. He was rolling. That run that he gave up, it was a double, and he got pulled because of an injury. They brought the trainer out. I didn't know what was going on. I looked it up this morning, you know, to see if the Rockies came out with anything. Apparently, he had full body cramps. He had just hit the inning before, and he watched four pitches, and the fifth one he swung hard as shit and struck out. Like, I don't know him going up there swinging the bat, like tweak something. I don't know. But he came out in the sixth, only threw the one batter, gave up a hit, and then trainers came out and they pulled him. But in those five innings that he did throw, his pitch count was only up to, I think, 82. And, I mean, slider was nasty. Everything was moving. He had good velocity. Like, it looked like the John that we knew. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not one to sit here and sugarcoat anything. John will tell you himself, John didn't have a good year last year. It's just how it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, whether you like it or not, he's better than what he showed last year. And it was refreshing for me to, you know, see him back on the mound yesterday. His stuff was looking good, everything moving, velocity good, and honestly, he went out and shoved up the Dodgers' ass.
Yeah, no doubt. And then, like, the highlights I saw looked like the Rockies were putting shit together. Like, they look like a solid team.
I've seen all the picks for this year, and they got them, like, in the bottom of the NL. But really? Like, when I look at their roster, like, they got some scrappy dudes. Like, they got dudes that are – like, it hurts, obviously, losing Arenado. That was their best player. But they still got guys like Charlie Blackmon and Trevor Story that are going to go out and compete. And, I mean, again, they're all professional athletes.
Right. At the end of the day,
yeah,
these are cats that made it to the other side, no matter what you think. You know, it's easy to sit on the outside and be like, when you say all this player's ass, you got to take that, like, compared to what, you know, other professional athletes.
Yeah.
Dude, that's my favorite thing. I always catch myself, like, I'll be watching, like, the biggest one I ever did it for was Kyle Singler when he was at OKC. He'd be on the floor, and I'm like, dude, this dude is trash.
And he beat you 1,000-0.
Wait, he sucks. Like, this dude can't play basketball. He's an NBA basketball player. Kyle Singler and I play one-on-one. I ain't getting past the three-point line.
No. Zero buckets. Zero buckets, dude.
Chance, you might get a bucket or two. I ain't getting one.
I'll just pull up.
Yeah. You're going to have to be from half court because I think the dude's like fucking 6'7 or something.
Yeah, right? He's a big son bitch.
Yeah. Also, into opening week, we had Fulmer make his debut yesterday. I checked the stat line. He came in relief.
He's 6'8".
Yeah, he came in relief. He's coming back. We talked to him about it in his episode, coming back from TJ. You know, I did the TJ, the rehab, and you got to work yourself up to getting those pitch counts back to being a starter, you know. But he came in last night in a relief duty, threw an inning, no hits, 1K, came in, shoved, said, here's you an inning, sit down, I'm going to go hit the showers.
Say what TJ is for people who aren't in the baseball know.
It's Tommy John. Okay. Most everybody that has listened to the podcast, we had Kale and Fulmer on, both have had Tommy John.
Oh, and
I've had Tommy John, so – yeah, we've talked about it quite a bit, but very happy to see Fulmer back on the mound, coming back from surgery. Goes out, like I said, one inning, quick work, said, sorry about you. I'm going to go grab me some food in the locker room, hit the showers. I ain't sweating that much. It was an easy workout here.
My God, Fulmer out there shoving again.
You're damn right.
I'm glad he's out there, and hopefully he gets to feeling comfortable and and rocks it this year, man. We can get him back on here and just talk about how he shoves it up people's ass.
Yeah, for sure. And the dude is very capable of doing it.
No doubt.
And he shoved it up you and I's ass one time.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
I'll never forget it.
I'll never forget that.
So since we were on John's debut and they are playing the Dodgers, you know, we said how stacked they were. They're defending champs. Their rotation is already just unbelievable. And then they add Trevor Bauer. Like, how do you beat these guys in a series? Like, they're rolling out Clayton Kershaw, Trevor Bauer, Walker Buehler. Like, it's just – it's stupid.
Yeah, Trevor Bauer, Clayton Kershaw, Julio Urias, David Price, Buehler, Joe Kelly. You're talking about just all the way through.
Yeah.
You got badasses.
The rotation is so good. David Price is a proven starter in the league. David Price is coming out of the pen for them.
Yeah.
Because they got too many guys. Like, they got too many starters. Urias, I forgot about him. You just mentioned him. That dude will put his specs on and go out and fucking strike out 12.
Gogs, dude. No fucks given. And he's filthy. From the left side, dude, he's got all the filth.
Absolutely disgusting. So before you and I answer this question, Chance, because we are the baseball guys, David's, you know, he asks questions all the time. He's picking up a little bit of baseball stuff. So just we're going to do a way too early World Series prediction. You know, overreaction. They've played, you know, four games, so, you know, everybody likes to overreact. The Blue Jays beat the Yankees 2 out of 3, so the Blue Jays are going to win the division. It's like, dude, shut up. Like, no, they're not. Like, it's one series. So we'll give an overreaction, way too early World Series prediction. Like I said, before you and I answer it, David, who do you got? Because this might be funny, who you got.
Well, I got to win the World Series. Shit, I got to think of enough teams to pick one. Give me Marlins.
Hey, I like it.
I like it.
Hey, is it owned by Derek Jeter, so I'll take it. So, so here you go. Who's the Marlins playing in the World Series? Who's their matchup?
Ooh, I'm gonna pick two people in the same division, probably. So that's gonna
be that's why I want you to answer it. Throw another one out there.
Pirates.
Yeah, that's both in. Can't happen. Shit. That's all right though. We got our way too early World Series prediction from David. Miami Marlins, you heard it here first, winning the World Series.
Easy.
Chance, who you got, brother? Wait, on our overreaction.
I'm going to pick the Dodgers to win it all.
And it's hard to go against them.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, we just talked about it, how stacked they are. They're defending champs, and they got better.
They're stacked. Their pitching rotation is stupid as fuck. But and their lineup is filthy too, dude, man. They just hit dingers, man.
You can't get them out. Yeah, I mean, you got Bellinger. You got Mookie Betts.
Yeah, Mook.
The Vegas odds for the NL MVP, the Vegas favorite is Mookie Betts. The second favorite is Cody Bellinger.
Yeah.
And you got those dudes hitting 1-2 for you. Sometimes Bellinger will hit 3-4. Wait, it don't matter. Mookie Betts, arguably best player in baseball. I mean, the only person I could probably put over him is Trout.
Yeah.
Point, you know what I'm saying? Then they got Seager. Wait, they got Justin Turner. Wait. They're just rolling dudes out like
Max Muncy. He's a solid first baseman. He can hit.
Absolutely.
He can swing it, man. They just, like, all around, man. They got it. And I think it's going to be really hard to count them out this year.
Very
man.
Hard to beat them in a 7-game series. Like,
yeah.
And it's solely based off their arms, I think. Like, I mean, pitching will win you a World Series. And if you're going out, you're only giving up 2-3 runs in an entire game. Well, Mookie Betts alone will get you 2 runs.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Easy.
So, hey, who you got them playing from the AL? Who's going to represent the AL?
Well, get a little weird over here and just say the Brewers, huh?
From the AL?
Fuck them, huh?
That's NL.
Oh, shit.
So, get weirder.
Yeah. I really don't know. I don't even know who's on the other side that can even play with the Dodgers, man. So it's just a toss up.
I'm gonna have to keep it homer biased. I'm gonna go Yankees Dodgers. I thought we were gonna get it last year, but you know, the Yankees are getting Severino back. that's a huge addition, getting him back. He's coming off TJ as well. Seems like everybody, every arm we talk about has had TJ. You know what I'm saying? He's coming back. He's coming back with TJ. They added Kluber. Kluber didn't have a great year last year, but, you know, put him under the lights in New York, and a lot of things can change.
Yeah.
They also have bats in that lineup, too, that will go out and put up 13 on you in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their lineup's dirty, too. Severino coming back is going to be big time for him, though.
It's huge.
That dude paints.
It's huge. And I'll tell you right now, he's not the best player in the MLB by any means. But to me, the best hitter in the MLB is in New York, and that's DJ LeMahieu. That dude is a hitting machine. He's the only dude to win a batting title in the NL and the AL. Wait, that shit don't happen.
Nah.
You know what I mean? So let's go ahead and hop out of baseball, because, like I said, our guest this week isn't the biggest baseball fan. So
no dogs in that fight.
No dogs in that fight. So let's go into, since we have David on, we got to go into NFL free agency. It's calming down now. It got wild there for a little bit, but since we have David on, I don't know if I know a bigger Cowboys fan than David. And David, obvious to our listeners out there, David knows the Cowboys are ass.
Like, okay, here we go.
He's one of those guys in the offseason that's like, he will say, like, next year's our year. But deep down in his heart, he does know the Cowboys are ass.
That's ridiculous.
But, you know, you just got back, and I hit you up when it happened. Mm-hmm. But now that we have you on the pod, let's rewind a little bit to the Dak contract. Right. How you feel about it?
So, first of all, Cowboys win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, there he goes.
secondly, man, so I felt like they gave him too much money. Now, I get asking for market value, you know, but it's hard. Like, based on performance, I feel like Dak's numbers are inflated because Dallas plays from behind so much that the guy has to try to throw them into games. Because ever since Zeke got paid, he went from averaging rushing over 100 yards a game to, like, 66.
Yeah.
So, for me to sit here and say, hey, you know, because stats-wise, there's nothing to talk about. Dak's, like, top, what, 5, 6 stats-wise?
All right.
So, stats-wise, you could say, hey – good pickup or good, you know, keep. But I feel like he throws from behind so much that it makes his numbers look better than what they are. For my eye test, I think they pay too much.
I actually think that when they signed him that week we talked about it, Chance, I think you said that, you know, you were like, you know, he throws from behind all the time, so his numbers are going to be good.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. 4 years, 160, that's a shitload of bread for a losing team, man.
And they can't pay everybody. That's the thing, you know. They're paying Zeke, DeMarcus Lawrence, Mari Cooper wants his money. Like,
yeah,
they hate so many players, and like on paper they should be better than what they are. And then you come out and you see these guys, and they're getting these fat ass fucking contracts and playing like shit. Like, oh, Dak's back. Guess we'll win 9 games next year.
No, you know for a damn fact y'all are going 8-8.
I lived through all those years, man.
It's what the Cowboys do. And I'm glad you mentioned Zeke, because I think I mentioned that in an early episode too. Like, Zeke was – it was feed Zeke. Zeke's eating. Then they pay him $90 million, and Zeke walks out, bust your ass for 33 yards a game.
Yeah, Zeke's fed now, and that's why he's so goddamn slow.
Yeah, in fact.
They fed him too much. You know, they need to feed him all that damn food.
And yeah. And like, I'll reiterate too my thoughts on the Dak contract. I think it's a little bit too much money for him.
A little.
I would be okay with paying Dak $30 million a year. I think he's about because he is not a top five quarterback, no matter what you say.
He's not ass, no matter what you say.
He's not a top five quarterback. I put him at the ass end of the top 10 in the league.
Out of 32, that's not bad.
Maybe 11 or 12. So I think he's worth about $30 million. But the only problem I have with the contract that they gave him is the other money that they're paying the other guys.
Yeah.
Wait, now you've sunk yourself. Like, you can't pay nobody else. If I'm the Cowboys, I try to get somebody to take Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
Take that contract. You drafted CD Lamb. You got CD on a rookie contract. Roll with CD. He can be a number one receiver in the NFL.
And they do stupid shit like let Cole Beasley leave over $1 million. They ain't going to give Dak all this fucking money. What? This cat did $1 million, and they're like, nah, ain't going to be able to do it. We'll give Dak $1.60. It's just ridiculous to me. That's just ridiculous to me.
I have to agree with you, man. I think it's crazy. I think he does deserve to get paid, but not that damn much.
Right.
But the thing was too, like, you're handcuffed with Dak too, because you couldn't give him a 1-year deal, because he'd be like, no, like, I'm leaving now.
You can't let Andy Dalton fucking start for Dallas because he's ass.
It's the fucking Red Rocket, dude. Get off his ass. So what we said when we hopped into the NFL, free agency's finally calming down. You know, everybody's pretty much signed where they're going to. So, in you guys' eyes, who do you guys think are the biggest winners in free agency?
Probably the Patriots.
Yep. I'll second that one.
Jonnu Smith, what a pickup there. Hunter Henry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we talked about that earlier.
Yeah, they got like two of the top five or six tight ends in the league.
It's going to be some fucking Gronk and what's his whistle all over
Aaron
again.
Hernandez.
Matt Judon's over there. Yeah, gone forever.
Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
I like Cam, too.
And that's, dude, like, everybody, like, I like the Patriots bringing Cam back. Like, give him one more year, like, he's another one that people are quick to say, oh, he's ass.
Right.
No, he's an MVP. Wait.
He plays by different rules. He plays by, like, LeBron James rules where, you know, because he's so much bigger and more athletic than people, like, whenever they played the Broncos in the Super Bowl, Von Miller tried to kill him, and the refs are like, I'm not throwing any flags. You know what I mean? Like, he takes shots that other cats don't take, and then people are like, well, he just cries about it. Yeah. Because he's not going to get a call that Drew Brees gets or Tom Brady gets. It's just not going to happen. Or Peyton Manning. Anybody you want to name, you know. Yeah, he doesn't get those calls.
It is bullshit because of his size, and that's legit what it is.
Right.
It's like, oh, well, he's – what is he? He's 6'8"?
He's 6'5", like 240.
Yeah, like
– fucking huge.
Like, that's his fault? He's still a quarterback. Like, but like, that's, I love the Patriots bringing him back for a year. Like, don't try to get cute. Like – if they can draft up and try to get one of these quarterbacks in this draft, you know what I mean? Like, but give Cam another shot at it, because who else are you going to put? You going to play Stidham this year? No.
They'll get Andy Dalton.
Bill Belichick's kicking himself in the ass right now for sending Jimmy G away.
Oh, yeah, man. I never understood that shit in the first place. That was crazy to me.
Because he thought he was going to have Tom Brady forever until Tom Brady got tired of hearing that Belichick's winning these rings. So Tom Brady was like, okay. Watch this shit. Hold my beer and watch this shit. Yeah. I'm going to leave Belichick and go win another one.
Instant contenders.
There's some teams that, you know, they've made some decent moves. I think they've helped themselves. We talked about J.J. Watt to Arizona. You know, I think that helps Arizona, you know. You got Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt. Like,
shit, they can stay healthy.
They might combine for 500 sacks this year. I don't know.
My big problem with J.J. is just health, man. Best ability is availability, and that cat has had some fucking injuries. He's obviously a monster, you know, to take anything away from
and
him.
And the unfortunate thing is, too, like, you know, J.J. Watt's tough as hell.
Right.
And it's, like, it's never been an injury, like,
my toe
or something. Like, this dude's, like, tearing his damn biceps and shit. Yeah. Like, it's like, dude, it's
he
just
– back surgery, didn't he?
Yeah, it's just unfortunate because, like, the injuries he has are – they're big-time injuries.
Right.
True.
So, I'll agree with – Chance, I agree with you, dude. I think the Patriots are the biggest winners. Like, yeah. They made some moves, and I think it was because Belichick was like, damn, like, Tom really did that. Tom really won a ring without me, so
we'll show him.
We got to do something.
Yeah.
So
one big trade that – or one big free agency move that kind of went under the radar, Kenny Golladay to the Giants.
The Giants made some moves.
4 years, $72 million for Golladay. I think he's worth that at least – that much. I mean, he's been shoving it, for the past 4 or 5.
And dude, the Giants made some moves, and now Jalen Hurts taking the snaps under center in Philly. Washington made some moves. Dallas finished last in that division now.
Okay, so I will tell you, Dallas will win that division. I mean, I like Jalen coming from OU, obviously, but I just like with Dak back and healthy, you know. If Zeke can run the – like, if they can get back to the formula of rushing for you know, 100 yards a game.
But that formula was how good y'all's offensive line was. That offensive line's getting old. They're hurt.
Like, I'm sorry, Travis Frederick got AIDS.
I'm sorry. But yeah, that was the formula. You had the best line in football. You don't got it no more.
It's unfortunate, but I'd like to see them get back to running the ball and then winning games. Like, you know, Dak obviously can keep – it's like – to me, it's the same as Romo. Romo was good statistically, but they were never going to win anything. You know, Dak can come in and throw the ball and sling it around and get a bunch of fucking good stats, but they got to get back to a winning formula and play some defense.
Yeah. I just can't wait for Sundays. Dak is back, and he's got CD fucking streaking down the sideline, and he hits CD for an 80-yard bomb. The crowd's going wild, and Dallas cuts the deficit with the Giants to 30.
Okay.
So anybody opposed to the Patriots probably being the biggest winners?
No, I think they made the most quality.
Like I said, there was some low key moves that were made.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Patrick Peterson going to the Vikings. Like, I think that's a, and they got him on a hell of a deal too. I think they're only paying him like $10 million. Right?
Who'd they just straight up for?
Stafford went to the Rams for Goff.
Right.
There were a couple. I think there were some picks or something.
That's a win for the Rams.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I think Goff is ass, and I think Stafford, even though he's kind of getting older, he's got more arm talent.
He can still air it out.
Yeah, that dude will throw that bitch 75 yards.
Yeah, Stafford will bust your ass for 500 quick.
Yeah.
Like, very quick.
Stafford's going to the Hoff, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say I'll probably agree with that.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. He goes to Detroit, and then Megatron's like, nah, I'm done, dude.
Yeah, damn.
Tired of Detroit.
Quadruple coverage is ass.
Yeah. I heard he was trying to make a comeback, but the Lions were like, well, we have the rights to you. He's like, yeah, I'm not coming back then.
You can't blame him.
So, well, let's go into who we think the biggest loser of free agency. I got mine. Chance, we'll start with you. What do you think?
I really don't know, man. I don't know really who lost, who would have lost there.
So, I'll go into mine, then you guys can tell me what you think about it. I think it's the Ravens. The Ravens were trying to get some wide receiver help. I heard that they were trying for a couple guys, some big name guys, and they did get Sammy Watkins. But to me, you know, Sammy Watkins left Kansas City. He won that ring, and the next year he took a pay cut to come back, try to get one more. Sammy Watkins wasn't going to take a pay cut again. Sammy Watkins is a good receiver.
Right.
Yeah.
So for him going there, I think that helps them. But, you know, Sammy's getting old. He said, you know, I got my ring.
Is it a true one to you?
No, not now.
Right.
I think when he came into the league, yes, he was. When he was in Buffalo, I think he was
straight out of Clemson.
I think he was a true one, but I don't think he is anymore. But that's why I think the biggest loser is the Ravens, just because they were trying to get these guys, and those guys don't want to go there. And my theory on it is, everybody loves Lamar. I like Lamar. I think he's a good quarterback. I'm not going to sit here and say Lamar is a trash quarterback, but I don't think these good wide receivers want to go play in Baltimore, because Lamar is not going to beat you with his arm.
Yeah.
He will have games where he will throw for some decent yardage, but it's because of his legs. People got to respect his run game. So, therefore, like, he will hit somebody over the top. I mean, you got somebody like Hollywood Brown. He can get you 90 yards to start the game on the first pass of the game. You know, you hit him for a 10-yard slant, and Hollywood will go for 90. That's going to help you as a quarterback, obviously, but to me, they're the losers of free agency because they can't get those guys to come in there, and I think it's because the lack of arm talent that Lamar has.
That's the only move that they made that had anything to do with offense was Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
Other than that, they got Tyus Bowser. They paid him 4 years, $22 million.
Right.
Right.
Like, and going for linebacker there.
I would like to kind of piggyback your Lamar thing. I think the guy can sling the ball really well. I think with the game on the line, I feel like the coaching scheme is for him to run the damn thing, though. Like, so I agree with you on the leg thing. I just think I think he can really throw it pretty good. But as a big-ticket receiver, am I going to want to go somewhere where in clutch moments you know your number's not getting called? Like, it's designed for the – you know, that offense goes through Lamar.
Yeah.
So I think I agree with you.
And that's why I don't think those big name wide receivers want to go there.
Right.
We heard for 2 weeks, like, oh, they got Juju. Juju's a lock going there. And then Juju was like, no, I'll stay with Ben. If you're staying with Ben at this point, wait, something's wrong. Like, yeah. That's got to say something that he chose to – and I understand that that's a division rival and the Ravens and Steelers hate each other. And Juju might love Pittsburgh. You know what I'm saying? Like, he might just be loyal to Pittsburgh, but for him to choose Ben over Lamar, like, that says something to me. That raises a little red flag.
Yeah, he stayed and he signed for 1 year, $2.5 million. So there's definitely something a little fucked up there.
Yeah. I mean, Juju's a whole nother can of worms for me because I didn't feel like he was a one anyway. He absolutely benefited from AB being there. And yeah. You know, once he was gone, I personally, I felt like Juju got exposed. I think he couldn't handle the moment. And I think he showed up really small. You know, when it's time to be a one, I don't think he was a one.
Yeah, I agree. I agree there. He could have done a lot more.
He needs to worry more about catching a football and scoring a touchdown than doing TikToks on logos. Like,
yeah. Or getting his fucking rib cage broken by Ryan Garcia.
Yeah, wait, what's that about?
What are you doing? Run some routes, guy. Get out there and be a one.
I like Juju Smith just fine, but whenever all that was going on, I started to despise him. And then when he got his ass cracked, I was super happy about it, man.
And there's going to be guys out there that probably will disagree with me and be like, bro, like, you're hating on Lamar, blah, blah, blah. But let me ask you guys about Lamar. Because, like I said, I'm not one to sit here and say that Lamar is a bad quarterback because he's an MVP. Again, like we said about Cam.
Yeah, I mean, the dude's a baller.
Wait, he's an MVP. But going back to the Cam thing, we're talking about Cam size, and Cam's got legs.
Yeah.
And you're talking about the hits that he takes.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson – is not Cam Newton, size-wise.
He ain't no K1 either. He can't be dodging him like
he's not,
K1.
He don't got the size that Cam does, and they run these shit out of Lamar.
Yeah.
He starts taking those hits. What's Baltimore without Lamar right now?
I don't even know who their backup is, honestly.
Their backup's a TikTok star too, dude. Like,
who is it?
Like, I don't even know his name. Like,
I don't know.
I just see him pop up on shit. He's like – he does some shit. I don't know. He's ass. There we go. Nobody knows him.
He's Lamar's backup, and he always will.
Yeah, that's what he's known for. So let's stay on the quarterbacks because there's a lot of questions out there on teams. You obviously have your teams that are solidified at quarterback. That, you know, there's no worries there.
Yeah.
You got Kansas City with Pat.
Tampa Bay.
No worries. Tampa Bay with Tom. Lamar with Baltimore,
Dallas.
You got Josh Allen, you got Dallas, you got K1 in Arizona. Like those are solidified spots.
Shit, Stafford,
they ain't worried about it. But you have some quarterback questions out there. Chance, we'll start with you on this one because I know you hate Drew Lock just as much as anybody else, and you're a Broncos fan.
Yeah, I hate
that guy. Those teams with the questions, like what do you want from Denver? Because I mean, Drew Lock's not it, you know. Like, yeah. And it's not just Denver, but since you're the Broncos fan, like, I mean, what do you guys do? Like, how do you get out of this hole? Because we're in a league now where you have to have that star quarterback.
Yeah.
So I ask this question a lot, and it's like you got John Elway, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, like general manager here in Denver, and you get a bunch of slapdick quarterbacks every year. So
Paxton Lynch.
What the fuck? Who the hell is that guy? You know what I mean? Like,
he was supposed to be like the all savior of
New Peyton Manning.
Yeah, he's supposed to be the savior of Denver, and he was like 2 years by
ass.
Yeah.
Just because he's 7 foot tall, he's gonna be the next Peyton Manning ass.
Yeah, they can't get a quarterback over there to save their damn life. I was really hoping, you know, this situation that's going down in Houston right now would have been a little better, and we picked up. God, why I'm drawing a blank.
Deshaun, what's that dude? Deshaun.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to talk about that as well. If we want to talk about quarterback problems as an organization and as a player, what's Houston going to do at quarterback? Because Deshaun ain't playing for him.
Yeah.
Is Deshaun going to play? Period.
Yeah.
We've talked about it in earlier episodes, like. When it first came out, when it was like, you know, it was like two women accused him of the sexual assault, you know, of the masseuse getting massaged, blah, blah, blah. I was like, man, I hear that this lawyer, you know, he's famous in Houston and he's next door neighbors with the Texans owner. And I'm like, man, something seems fishy to me. You know, like, I don't know if I'm buying it. But now the count's up to like 24, and I'm like, bro, well, there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah, everybody don't say the same thing about you, and some of it ain't true.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I was having a conversation with an old coach of mine yesterday, actually. And it was like, I'd never thought about it in this tense, and I'll get y'all's thoughts on it. Wait, those big multi-million dollar athletes, Deshaun signed that fucking mega deal like 2 years ago, you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Deshaun's got all the money that he could ask for. What he was saying, and I totally agreed with him, those guys, like, you might have like one, two, maybe three masseuses, but those guys find somebody that they like and they use them. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because they're mega athletes and they're famous as fuck, they're not just going out to these random massage parlors. You know what I'm saying?
No, they put them on retainer. And they travel with them.
It's like, Deshaun, like, you got 30 masseuses? Like, what is going on here? Like I said, where there's smoke, there's fire. Now I'm like, dude, like, this shit might be true. Like,
yeah.
Here's the weird thing about that is, like, all these women are coming forward with all these allegations, but none of them are filing charges. It's all suits. Like, they just want money.
Right.
Why the fuck would they only want money and not to file charges and get this man arrested who sexually assaulted them? It doesn't make any fucking sense to me. So
that's a slippery slope, you know, because without knowing definitively one way or another, obviously if he, you know, committed sexual assault against his women, he deserves everything that happens to him.
Yes. He should be in prison.
Right. But on the other side, like, this isn't my stance, but I'm just saying, you know, without knowing one way or another, who's to say, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, who's to say? Maybe he, you know, takes a different masseuse everywhere he goes. You never know. Like, and like Chance said, why not push criminal charges if that's the case? I don't know. I think it's a slippery slope, man, because, you know.
I mean, there's 31 other teams in the NFL. Maybe he's got a masseuse in every city.
Yeah, it's hard to say, really.
But when it first came out, like, I was like, man, something seems fishy, but I don't ever want to downplay, you know, like,
right.
If somebody says, like, whether it be a guy, a girl, whatever, like, if you sexually assaulted somebody, I don't ever want to downplay that. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to be like, oh no, she's just money hungry.
Right.
Like, no, I think you should look into it. You know what I'm saying? Like, because there is people out there that are money hungry. It's not just women, it's men too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? People get sue happy, you know, whatever it is, but I don't know. The whole thing is just so weird. Like, and another question I have is, why now?
Yeah.
Wait.
Why now, dude?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't – wait. Why now? Like,
yeah.
I also seen, like, 18 or some masseuses came out and said, oh, I massaged him and he didn't do anything to me. So, how many masseuses you got, bro?
It's just a circus. It's a circus, you know. And you don't want – the actions of some, you know, money-hungry people to marginalize, like, actual victims, you know. So that's what makes it so slippery to me, is you never want to marginalize people who have been victimized, you know. But then there's those people who are like, I'm going to hop, you know, jump on the hype train, that kind of, like, you know, take away legitimacy. Like, they make it hard for the people who are truly seeking justice. And that's why I think it's so slippery.
Yeah. No, I agree with that 100%. So we'll hop off. I don't want to go too far into that, right, because none of us are ones to talk politics, and that's getting into a topic that, you know, like, people are going to disagree and agree, and it pisses people off.
Very polarizing.
Yeah, I'm like, I ain't trying to get text messages arguing with me, because I'll just say shut up. So let's go to another quarterback problem, the Jets. Do you keep Darnold? Do you draft somebody?
He's like, not the guy.
I don't think he's a terrible quarterback either, though. I'm not going to say he's good. I'm not going to say he's great by any means.
Top 15?
No.
Then he's not. You got to go get somebody that is. I mean, what did you say earlier? If you don't have a premier quarterback, you cannot compete for a Super Bowl. If he ain't even top 15, he ain't fucking premier. He's not the guy. You got to go get somebody.
I agree. I can't disagree with that. But my only thing is, like, you picked him second overall, and you're paying him a shit ton of money.
That was a mistake.
You know what I mean? Like,
but you can't undo something that's been done. All you can do is move towards making your team better. So you may have to eat that and realize, wow, I mean, they didn't draft him and be like, this guy's going to be ass 2 years from now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you got to get somebody that wants to – maybe you get somebody that's already in the league. Maybe you draft somebody. you know. But you got to do something different because he's not the answer.
I can't disagree with it. You know what I'm saying? But what do you think, Bubba?
I'm cutting his ass the moment he said he was seeing ghosts out there.
Bro, I forgot about that.
Me too.
Bro, and you can't say that when you're mic'd up. Like, you know you're mic'd up. Like, don't go over to the bench and be like, I'm seeing ghosts out there. Like, what in the hell are you talking about, bro?
And then
the last big one to me that is somewhat quarterback trouble is the Niners. I think the Niners are putting up a huge smoke screen right now because they keep saying Jimmy G's our guy. Jimmy G's our guy. Okay, why'd you trade up to number three? Why'd you trade up to number three? Because there's gonna be three quarterbacks that go number three, I think.
Who?
Trevor obviously won.
Justin Fields.
I think it's the BYU kid too. And then I think Justin Fields goes three to San Fran. And I think it's all a smokescreen that they're saying, you know, Jimmy G's our guy, Jimmy G's our guy. I don't think he's their guy.
I don't think he's their guy. He can't stay healthy. Like, he gets hurt every fucking season.
Ooh, light bulb. There's your answer in Denver.
Jimmy G?
They draft Justin Fields. Pay Jimmy G. Come to Denver.
Oh, God.
Hey, better than his
injury over there either.
What?
I don't want his injury-prone ass in Denver either. Fuck.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I just think he's better than Drew Lock.
Dude, everybody's better than Drew Lock.
What about Sam Darnold?
I'd take Sam over Drew.
Yeah, I would too.
I would too. I'm trying to think.
Swagger, but that's it.
There ain't no way Drew Lock's the worst quarterback in the league. I got to think for a second.
I mean,
he's not fucking good.
Yeah. If you're kicking around like the worst three quarterbacks, he's in that conversation.
Yeah, he might be in the last three.
Again, with a grain of salt because he's still an NFL quarterback, but he's ass.
Yeah, one of the best football players walking the planet, but he is ass.
Pay me $1 million, I'll go out there and do the same thing he's fucking doing.
Bro, what with the COVID shit and. Y'all started that wide receiver? Dude, I ain't never seen no shit like that before.
There's a shit show over there in Denver, partner.
Yeah. Oh, last one I remember I wanted to talk about. Drew Brees retiring.
Yeah.
Wait, he's been the staple in New Orleans.
Like you said, Hoff for sure.
Are you – yeah. Put him in now. Like, he ain't got to wait the years to be eligible. Put him in now.
Yeah.
Wait, he's probably unanimous. Like.
Oh, yeah. First ballot.
Yeah. First bout, unanimous, put him in now. I don't give a shit. But, dude, what do they do in New Orleans? Do they roll with Taysom? You throw Jabouins back in there?
I think you go with Jabouins. You know, this cat is not scared to throw an interception. But,
hell no, he's not.
But now that he can see, the cat was an NFL starting quarterback without being able to see.
Yeah.
Now that he can see, you can't not give him a second chance. He's on the roster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He can't be any worse. He threw 30 picks, 30 tugs. He can't get any worse now that he can see.
Bro, when he left, when Tampa Bay cut his ass, he said, you know, I'd be one of the best quarterbacks in the league if I cut down on picks.
Yeah.
No shit.
I'll be there
for 30 and 30.
He ain't scared to throw one. That's for sure.
Wait, you can't have a 30-30 as a quarterback.
Yeah, shit, you can.
I like Taysom Hill, though, man. Honestly, he's a freak of nature out there, and he really does it all.
He's an incredible athlete.
I just don't see him starting 16 games at QB. I think you need a guy.
But do they go a two-man rotation at Jameis and him? Like,
yeah, absolutely. You work him in, you know,
because Jameis obviously has a stronger arm.
Right.
Taysom can't throw it that well.
No.
Taysom's a running quarterback.
I think maybe, you know, with Jabouins coming back in, I think maybe you work Taysom in rotation more so than you did with Breeze because he was so dependable. And then as Jabouins gets better, maybe you get that same relationship that him and Breeze had. But I don't see Taysom lining up, you know, behind the center snap, you know, every snap for 16 weeks. I don't.
Right. I will throw this out there. If you're gonna roll with Taysom Hill, he's gonna have to stop returning punts and kicks.
Yeah, right.
Like, this dude is lining up under center when Drew Brees is out and he's returning kicks.
Yeah.
Like, I'd shit my pants if I look back there and see Pat Mahomes about to return a kick.
Yeah, it's over with.
Bro, I'd drive to Kansas City.
If Pat Mahomes on punt return, you get you a helicopter and fly it over a stadium, drop him a fucking ladder and get him out of there. Bro.
Yeah, no
you
shit.
Don't leave him on the field on specialty. You got to get him the fuck out of there.
Yeah, I'd have to pull Arrowhead and be like, yo, shut this game down. There's something going on that you guys got to stop. Don't kick off. So let's get into our last topic here. A little bit of NBA. Finally, the Thunder have entered tank mode.
Gross.
Wait, three nights ago now, they get beat by 37 by the Suns. I was like, holy shit, that's an ass whooping. Then they roll out last night and get beat by 48 against the Trailblazers. I'm like, thank you for going into tank mode, but I don't know if I'm going to be cool with getting my ass beat by 48 every
just
fucking night.
Just mollywop, bro. Lose a little bit. Don't get your fucking teeth kicked in. Yeah. Jeez.
Get beat on a Suggs buzzer beater every game.
Yeah, no shit.
Make it wild.
We talked about this a little bit earlier with the tanking thing. Like, from a competitor standpoint, it's hard for me to know, like, your team is losing on purpose. Like, obviously, the guys don't suit up and go out there and say, guess I'm going to miss all my shots today. Like, they're still playing hard, but I don't – and I understand the strategy, and I wouldn't argue with it. It's necessary for picks and rebuilds and stuff, but I just hate the idea that, like, our team that we watch basketball is going to lose on purpose. It makes you not want to watch it. You know, as a fan, I mean, I hate it.
Yeah. What do you think, Chance? You all right with the tank?
I'm with David. I couldn't agree more with what he said, but I'm cool. I'm cool with the tank, bro. Because I mean, they fucking suck anyways.
That's what we were talking about earlier. Like, obviously, we're all competitors. Like, you don't want to lose everything. You never want to lose. Like, we talked about in episode one, Chance. Like, if you and I are having a coin flip competition, I'm trying to whoop your ass. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I don't even like to lose weight, bro.
If you pick tails, and I'm like, and I know this coin's going to land on tails, I'm like, nah, hell no, I'm picking heads because I'm trying to beat you. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But as an organization, I understand they have to. Wait.
Right.
You have – if you're going to trade Russell Westbrook and Paul George, Steven Adams, you're going to trade those guys like Jeremy Grant – you got to go into a rebuild. But what the Thunder's problem is they're putting lineups out there to lose. Wait, SGA is set now with a quote-unquote foot injury.
I hate that shit.
Wait, they've set him. They had an overtime game where they didn't play Lu Dort 1 minute, and they won that game. Like, they're trying to roll out lineups in order to lose against other NBA guys. But the problem is you got a bunch of hungry young guys that are competing for an NBA, like, spot. They want to stay in the league. So they don't want to go back to the G League. So you get guys out there that are hungry and busting their balls and hauling ass, and they're beating people.
Well, let me ask you this. What's the value trade-off between the experience a young group of guys gets from making their first playoff to – with all the picks – keep in mind, all the picks that Thunder already have.
Yeah, 18
of them. What's better – getting your young guys experience, maybe getting a playoff berth, or tanking this year for, like, a lottery shot? What's better? What is experience worth more with all the picks they have versus, like, you know, tanking their season?
Me personally, as a fan, because I'm not associated with the Thunder at all other than being a fan,
yeah.
I would want the tank and the lottery pick because I don't want to have the number 14 pick this year and then – we'd be mediocre again next year. Got to go through another year of being mediocre.
Yeah.
I obviously want my team to win a championship.
What do you think, Chance? You think that experience – how much would you value the experience of them young cats, like, getting a playoff berth versus, you know, the lottery?
I'm going with experience. I mean, we got a lot of young guys out there. But the young guy – like, you sent me a picture the other day, Red, and it was – like, the average age for the OU Sooners basketball team was, like, 22.
Yeah, their average starters are older than the average starters of the Thunder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking crazy. I mean, we got a lot of young guys out there, so we it wouldn't be bad to get a couple of, like, 5-6-year guys on that team that, you know, are crushing it in the league already. I think it would be good, but.
But also, you got to think of it, too. Like, you say the experience.
Yes.
Like, if they get the experience of, let's say, they were to sneak into the playoff tournament – and, you know, that 10 seed and play in and, mm-hmm. and end up getting the 8 seed
right.
and then get absolutely annihilated in mm-hmm. 4 games. Like, yeah, you have that experience of those guys having a little playoff taste.
Yeah.
But also with the draft picks you have, not all those guys are going to be on the roster in 3, 4 years, 5 years, whenever they get out of the tank mode.
Right.
But you're going to have guys like SGA. They're obviously building around him. You're going to have Dort. They might have Poku, you know. Maladon might still be there. But but a lot of them that are getting time right now, they're not going to be there.
Right.
So, but, like, what's that experience if they're not there?
So, I got a couple things. One is the experience is big, so that way, you know, well, I'll say this first. When you're tanking in a rebuild, you have to rebuild around something. So, you have that core group of guys that are going to still be there. And then, two, you know, the next time they make it, the moment won't be as big to them. They'll have, you know, 2, 3, 4 years experience in the league. They've been to the playoffs. They got their fucking ass whooped. And as NBA players, they're obviously fierce competitors. That feeling of getting your fucking teeth kicked in, the next time you show up, hey, that ain't happening to me again. I at least won't get swept. You see what I'm saying?
But here's the thing. Wait, the Lakers aren't going to be the one seed because AD and LeBron are hurt. But let's say they were, just because that's their defending chance, right?
Right.
If they get the 8 seed and get their teeth kicked in by the Lakers, like you're saying the next time that they may go there in 2, 3 years, and they're like, oh, it's not going to happen again. Well, if you draw the Lakers again, yeah, it is. It's going to happen again. I mean,
maybe not, you know, because you can't predict injuries and stuff like that. If they drew the Lakers now, they're a little bit older. They've used some of those picks. You know, they might push them. Am I going to sit here and say, hey, Thunder in 5? No, obviously not. But they may push them to, like, a game 7 and get better and better progressively. Like, I don't think any experience is going to be bad.
I mean, the Thunder's big three back in the day, their second year in Oklahoma City, that first year they were terrible.
Right.
But then that second year, they take the Lakers to 7 games in the first round.
Right.
But you also got guys like Russell Westbrook and James Harden.
Yeah.
And that's the only two they had.
Stop.
That's it. The only two they had. And that will bring us perfectly into the last thing that I wanted to talk about. If you guys got anything else, you guys throw it out there. But speaking of Russ, you guys know I love Russ. I'm always going to talk about Russ. I don't give a shit if you care that I talk about Russ all the time. Get over it. Don't listen. I don't care. No, I'm just joking on that. I do want you to listen. But Russ is still dunking on motherfuckers. Did y'all see him shit on Bismack Biyombo?
Shit on him. I loved it.
Very explosive.
I absolutely loved it. And honestly, he hasn't done that in so long. I was like, man, he's losing it.
Yeah. A bunch of people think that. They're like, man, he ain't got the springs in his legs no more. Shit. Bro, he said, let me take y'all back to shaved head OKC Thunder Russell Westbrook. Let me shit on this guy
real quick. He's a cyborg, dude.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. And it's not like he didn't. He jumped from right underneath the goal. He was a good 5 feet in front of it.
Right.
Well, he was well in front of that goal, and he still yammed. That was amazing. It was good seeing that again, man.
He still got that bounce, boy. He's still about that action, man. Like, at the end of the day, I love seeing cats like that. Like, still going out there, competing hard, and then, you know, everybody doubting the guy, and he's like, I still get up. I still do this. You know what I mean? So, it is good to see.
He got a lot of haters, man. I hate that he has so many haters.
Bad.
Dude, I feel like he's almost like a Baker Mayfield. Like, you either love Baker or everybody else just hates his guts.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no in between. And I don't get it. Like we've talked about in earlier episodes, people's like, oh, Russ is a ball hog. Russ is a ball hog. Okay, Russ led the league in assists, but you're going to call him a ball hog? Well, what are you talking about?
Yeah, based on what?
Oh, he steals rebounds. No, the ball comes off. Russ is flying through the lane and jumping. Like, he's a competitor. You don't want a rebound?
I think people call him a ball hog because he will take some stupid-ass shots. You know what I mean? He will turn the ball over.
However, that's every player, though.
Right, but to say he's a ball hog, like he doesn't distro the ball, if you just check stats, I mean, obviously his assists are insane. You know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah. He just had a 35-20, like, 15 game the other day, too.
Yeah.
That was bad. An
unbelievable stat line. And that'll go into let's stay on Russ, and that's Stephen A. Stephen A. is not only here, love him or hate him. You know what I mean? Because, I think sometimes he's a clown. Sometimes I'm like,
He's very animated.
Yeah, I can agree with that. But him going into saying, like, basically said Russ has to start ring chasing. And, he's saying in order for Russ to solidify his legacy, he's going to have to start ring chasing because that's the thing that he's missing is the ring. And it's so much in today's sports world that everything every single thing is judged off of how many rings you got.
Yeah.
And wait, I can agree with that. Like, obviously, being a champion and a Super Bowl champion or a World Series champion or an NBA champion, like, yeah, it helps your legacy.
Sure.
But Russ ain't the guy. Like, how many times does he have to prove to you that he's not going to ring chase? Like, Russ is a competitor. He's going to play basketball no matter where he's at.
Like, Eli Manning's got 2 Super Bowl rings. He's better than Dan Marino. Like, the rings, the whole rings makes you a great, like, you know, for your legacy, like a great player. There's cats with rings that, quite frankly, aren't very good. Like, there's cats that join teams, they get rings, and you didn't even know they were on a squad. So, to act like he needs rings to cement his legacy, I personally think is ridiculous, because you can't tell me just by looking at the guy that he's not, like, a Hall of Fame player. You can't tell me that. So, you're going to say if he don't win a ring, they leave him out?
No, Russ is first ballot,
too. Like, yeah, there's no way. Like, so, I think that argument from Stephen A., like, oh, you have to ring chase. Why? For what? I don't think that takes away anything from his legacy.
I agree with you on that. And first and foremost, I fucking hate Stephen A. Smith. I think, and I think Russ had the perfect rebuttal to that.
Yes.
Whenever he said, "I don't need a ring. I was a champion. Whenever I made it to the NBA, you know, I came from the streets. I'm a champion because I made it." And I was like, "Well, you can't beat that. You talk shit on that, asshole."
I'm glad you brought that up, because I want to mention that how much I loved his response, and I have his quote right here, and he said, "I was a champion once I made it to the NBA. I grew up in the streets. I'm a champion. I don't have to be an NBA champion. I know many people that got NBA championships that are miserable." I think he was taking a little subtle dig there. Call me crazy, but I think he's taking a little dig. Then he goes on to say, that are miserable, have done nothing for their communities, have done nothing for the people in our world. My legacy, like I mentioned before, is not based on what I do on this court. My legacy is what I do off the floor, how many people I'm able to impact and inspire along my journey. Wait.
I can say it better.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, no matter what Stephen A. had to say about that, like, no, yeah. Rush just shit on you.
Because who the fuck is Stephen A.? What has he done?
Found you, dog.
Yeah. In the sports talk world, you were standing under the rim like Bismack Biyombo did, and Russ is saying, "Don't jump." Stephen A., you jumped, and he shit on you.
Yeah, hostered.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and we've talked about it numerous times on here. We're in a league now where if you do want that ring, you got to go team up.
Yeah.
But Russ don't care about going and teaming up. If you bring guys around Russ, if they bring him in to get him help, is he going to bitch about it? Absolutely not. But Russ ain't selling out for nothing. Like, Russ ain't going to pull a, "Man, I ain't playing, buy me out so I can go join the Lakers." He ain't that guy.
So, my thing, too, with that, I hate that you even said it. You signed a fucking contract. What do you mean you ain't going to play for this team? Like, give me all my fucking money back then. You signed a contract to play basketball for my fucking team. Trade me or I won't play. Give me my money back and you can go.
Yeah.
I
feel like they should start putting that in contracts.
Yeah. They're going to have to at some point. Like, to me, that's utterly, having signed, you know, a shit ton of contracts with the Army, you think I just won't fucking go one day?
Yeah.
I was going to walk your ass off.
Like, what kind of shit? What do you mean? Like, honor your fucking commitment, dude. Just, you signed a contract, play ball. You know, if they put some pieces around you, cool. When your contract is up, you move on. But you don't just say, "I'm not going to fucking play." That's ridiculous. Yeah.
And I personally, whenever I see these guys do that, I think it makes them look like the biggest pussies in the world.
It does.
Yeah. So
it makes them look like they have the worst character.
Yeah.
And I think it's bullshit.
Yeah. And I haven't said it on here, but just in conversations with you guys and other people, you know, like, when we get together and start drinking beer, you know, it's all sports. Like, we do what we're doing here. But what I've always said is, a contract just don't matter anymore.
It should.
As a fan, wait, when Paul George signed his deal and he said, "I'm staying, I'm here to stay." As a Thunder fan, like, we're all Thunder fans here, how fucking pumped were you guys?
Yeah.
That was so awesome, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, holy shit, because everybody wants to say, "Oh, it's small market OKC. Nobody wants to play with Russ. He ran off everybody. Like, nobody wants to play with him." And then PG comes out and he says, "I'm here to stay. Russ is my guy. I like what's going on here in OKC." I remember I was in Vegas drunk as shit, look at my phone, says Paul George signs a max deal with the Thunder, staying with Russ. Russ threw in this party. He had a – who was there? Who was the rapper that Russ brought in for him?
I don't know.
Wait. And you're ecstatic as a fan, and then he fucking plays 1 year of it, and then he's like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go play with Kawhi now. I'm going to go home to L.A. Bro.
Imagine having pride and honoring your commitments. Imagine that.
And I wish – I wish Presti would have been like, damn, that sucks that you want to play in L.A. because you're signed for 4 years here. But as a GM, you can't. Because if you're like, damn, that sucks. He's like, well, damn, that sucks. I ain't playing.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, what? And they'll miss out on game checks. It's not like they're going to get all that money if they just don't play. Because it is in their contracts. Like, they'll miss game checks for not playing. But they don't care. Paul George don't care. He's got plenty of money.
How much? I was going to say, how much money do you have before? How much money do you have after? You have to, like I said – at that point, like, give me all my fucking money back, and you can leave, man, because we don't want no weak-hearted motherfuckers like you anyway. Like, shit, don't go exactly your way, and you don't want to play? Then fucking give me my money back and bounce.
Yeah. PG's a hoe for that one.
Like, jeez, dude. I can't understand.
He's a straight hoe for that one. Side story about PG. I was at Jersey Mike's the other day when they were doing the charity thing for Food Bank of Oklahoma where all the proceeds are going to it. I went down there and got me and the wife a sandwich. And this dude walks in with a call-in order, and I'm not looking. They said, what's the name? And I hear a voice. He goes, Paul George. Bro, my head snapped. It was like a 60-year-old man. His name is Paul George. It's like, bro, I should punch you in your shit right now for that name. I think, man, that was all of our talking points for this week. I think we had a fucking great episode. You guys got anything you want to add? I miss anything?
Oh, man. I hope I get to see a lot more David on here. That was fun.
Yeah, absolutely, man. He was
had a good time.
He's a great guest. And before we sign off real quick, I have meant to do this in every episode, and I feel like a piece of shit for not doing it. We have to give a fucking huge shout-out to Barry Parks for our logo. I've been meaning to do it, we get talking sports, and I forget about it. Barry killed our logo. Barry's one of our brothers, and, you know, he didn't have to do that. He spent, like, 4 hours drawing us from scratch, from nothing. Looking at a picture of us drawing us. Dude's an amazing artist. We talk about Jake on here a lot. Barry's also tattooing at Western Ave. Y'all go check him out. Check Jade out, Jake out. Jake's the GOAT.
Get Barry, in before it's too late.
Yeah, Barry's on his way. Just want to give a huge shout-out to Barry for the logo, though, for sure.
Agreed on that. Our logo's dope as hell, too.
Dope as fuck. So that will end us for episode 7, I'm sorry. David, like I said, Chance just said it. I'm going to back up what he said. You are a great guest. We hope to see you on here more. This was a great episode. We talked about a lot of good shit. We're getting perspectives from, you know, all sides of sports. Like, we all love sports, but the only thing we can agree on is OU.
Right.
And that shit ain't never changing. Wait, it's Boomer Sooner around here. You guys, it's 7 episodes. I think we might have said Boomer Sooner in every one of them. We'll say it again, Boomer Sooner. It's always going to be OU.
But
And again, David, said it at the beginning, say it again. Thank you so much for what you did. I'm glad you're home. Couldn't be happier that you're home. You came home safe. What you did for us, man, it's incredible. It's amazing. And thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your support, man. I appreciate it.
So that will do it for Balls Deep, Episode 7. I am your co-host, Zach Wunderlich. As always, joined by co-host Chance Rich. Guys, we got big things in store. We're talking sports. We keep pumping out these good guests. Keep coming back. We're going to keep giving you episodes. Again, text us, comment on Facebook, whatever it is. You guys got suggestions, want to hear something that you guys want our thoughts on, just let us know. And that will sign us off. This has been Balls Deep.